record it for prosperity's sake. So we find in the first or sixth chapter of Acts the institution of the office, and we find that the way that they did it was they chose out among them seven men full of honor, support, full of the Holy Ghost, and then they prayed, then they laid hands on them. And to do this in this day, we form a presbytery, which we'll do right now, but it looks like they formed themselves. So I don't think there's any other ordained elders out there that makes up the presbytery. But I'd also like to recognize those that have already been ordained to the office of deacon in this and other churches. And they are seated over here on this side. Thank you, brethren, for your unfailing service to the Lord and to His church. So the first, let's consider ourselves in conference at this time. I guess I need to ask if, well, the first thing I guess we need to do is to appoint a moderator to this ordination. Motion's been made by Brother Garland and seconded by which one of y'all? By Brother Kevin. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay. Thank you for that. It's usual and customary for the pastor of the church of where the brother is being ordained to be called to be the moderator. The next thing is to appoint a clerk of the presbytery, one to take down the minutes and record what goes on.
I'd like to nominate Elder Ben Shells.
We have a second. We have a second by Brother Mike. Is there any discussion? You can't say anything, Brother Ben. I'm just kidding. He could if he wanted to. All those in favor of Elder Ben Shells being the clerk, raise your right hand. Okay, Brother Clark, come and take your seat over here. There's the minutes right there. Yes, I guess now we need to, based on this, need to ask the presbytery if the presbytery is satisfied with the presbytery. Yes. You satisfied with each other?
Yes.
Amen. Now I want to ask Union Church. Is Union Church satisfied with the presbytery that's assembled today?
We are.
Amen. And Brother Patrick, are you satisfied with the presbytery? All right, we can move on then. Now the next point is to move for a spokesman to question the church and the candidate. Brother Patrick, it's usual and customary for the candidate being ordained to have a preference. It's just something that is nice to do. And Brother Patrick has requested that Brother Ed, Elder Ed, long question the church and the candidate. We would entertain a motion. Motion's been made and seconded for Elder Ed Long to question the church and the candidate. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, raise your right hand. Unanimous. Now the next order of business is to ask the spokesman for the church That's our current deacon, Brother Billy Phelps. If he would, and get Brother Patrick and seat him for the questioning. This may be the only time you have to do this, Brother Patrick. Next is for the, some people call them the interrogator, to come and question the church. Brother Ed.
Church first and then Brother Patrick? All right. We can do it. Thank you, Brother.
As I question the church, I'll be expecting a response from Brother Billy as a spokesperson for the church. So, but y'all feel free to nod, and to if you have any comments that need to be made, y'all are equal members in this church, so feel free to make the comments you need to make. Union Church, at this time, do you feel that Brother Patrick has met the qualifications required by Thus Saith the Word of God to be ordained as a deacon in Union Church?
We do.
Do you believe that Brother Patrick is an assistant to this church, someone who goes above and beyond at every opportunity to help the church and assist the church in all ways?
We do believe this.
Lastly, do you believe that Brother Patrick will remain firm in his belief in the doctrines of grace, firm in his belief in the truth that Jesus Christ died and redeemed all of his children, that they will be with him in everlasting eternal glory through and only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ?
We did.
Good.
Amen.
Amen to that. Appreciate that, Union Church. Brother Patrick, I have 11 questions that are all going to be about the job that you're about to partake of, and they're also going to be about your life. So these 11 questions are yes and no. They're not going to be difficult. I believe that you'll be able to answer them, and most importantly, I believe that you definitely meet the requirements. That's awesome. That there is no doubt of anyone in attendance here today that this man is qualified. That is a blessing.
Amen.
We need to be thankful for that, that we have a fully qualified deacon candidate. Brother Patrick, question one. Do you believe in a holy triune God, a holy triune Godhead, and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is the only path to salvation? Do you believe that a baptism by immersion upon a profession of faith in Jesus Christ is required by all candidates to become a member of his church? Were you yourself baptized into Union Church after professing your faith? Hebrews chapter 10 tells us to, quote, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do you personally regularly attend and actively support the services and ministry of this church? We are commanded in the book of Colossians chapter 3 that we are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Do you, Patrick, strive to live a life above reproach at home, in your church, and in your community? Are you, Patrick, the husband of one wife, faithfully committed to your marriage covenant? He passed that one pretty easily. I'm thankful for that. Thank you. If we hear something different, I'm going to be as shocked as the rest of y'all. If he'd have said, no, I'm actually married to Yolanda, and she lives in East Tennessee, I'd have been shocked. You're the one that asked me the question. I'm sorry. Number six, do you actively attempt to abstain from gossip, slander, and double-tongued speech? Do you, Patrick Corbin, refrain from excessive drinking or any other behavior that would bring reproach on Jesus Christ or on his church? Yes, sir. Are you willing to serve the natural and spiritual needs of the congregation here at Union Church with humility and grace? Amen. Ephesians chapter 5 explains that the husband is to lead his family in service and in love. Do you manage your household well and lead your family in the ways of the Lord? I think the fact that your daughter drove 8,000 miles to be here today is a pretty good example. Also, in that your son drove half a mile to be here today. So, and the fact that your sister-in-law came half a mile to be here today shows you lead your family well. So thank God for that. Number 10, are you willing to fully submit to the leadership of Christ and the authority of His Word in all matters of church service? Are you willing to listen for guidance from your pastor and other members while seeking to better serve the church? Last question. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus teaches that we are to be good stewards. Do you promise to be a faithful and true steward of the financial gifts that Union Church is blessed to receive? I believe that's a 100% plus a bonus. So anyone else disagree or any questions that you have to ask Brother Patrick? Satisfied with his answers? Union Church satisfied with his answers?
Union Church is satisfied.
All right. Thank you, Brother Patrick.
It says on here that we need to do that formally by motion and second to say that he's qualified. Motion's been made that the candidate has been found qualified. Second, any discussion? All those in favor and of agreement, raise your right hand. Now, next is the ordination prayer. Brother Patrick had requested that Elder Chase Harrison offer the ordination prayer. We'd entertain a motion for that.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, raise right hand. Elder Chase, you're going to offer the ordination prayer. And he had requested, as is usual and customary, that his pastor deliver the charge. We'll entertain a motion for that.
Make a motion to pastor deliver the charge.
We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, raise your right hand. Okay, now it's time for the ordination prayer. Brother Chase and your brethren, come up and we'll lay hands on his brother.
Most holy and righteous, eternal God, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, Lord, we approach your great throne of grace at this time, first and foremost, thanking you for this special and wonderful occasion. Thank you, Lord, that you are not only ever seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, but you are still evidently in the midst of the candlesticks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And working in the lives of your people and in the midst of your church. And we thank you, Lord, that you're still calling out men from all walks of life as elders and deacons to serve thy people to their edification and to your honor and glory. Lord, we're thankful for this dear brother that has been called out from this congregation by you and the church to serve in this most humble position of deacon, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that your spirit of grace and spirit of humility not only be upon him at this time during this ordination service, not only today, but every day of his life from here forward, Lord. as he tries to serve your church and your people and your kingdom. They would always keep the spirit of your grace and the spirit of your humility, Lord, always about us and everything seasoned with your grace and mercy. Lord, help us be more gracious and merciful and forgiving to one another, long-suffering to one another, just as you are all those things to us, Lord, through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you bless Brother Patrick. Bless him as he not only serves the church, but as a spiritual leader of his household. And that you would bless him, Lord, not only to serve his deacon, serve your people, serve your church, serve you, Lord, not only for an hour and a half on Sunday, but that this mindset and attitude of humility and grace would pervade every aspect of his life. To your honor and glory, Lord, is the reason we bear fruit. And the reason we even have the ability to bear fruit is because your grace and your love is in us first. Your love constrains us, Lord. And we thank you for that fact, and we pray you continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Continue to lead, guide, and direct Brother Patrick as he continues down this straight and narrow way. As it is a straight way, it is a difficult road. But we're thankful, we pray to God as has all sufficient grace. And Lord, we pray that you would bless him with that sufficient grace when times are good, when times are hard. Lord, bless him to be grounded and settled in the truth. And always look to you, Lord, for his wisdom and his knowledge and his guidance. We pray all these things for Brother Pratchett. We pray for ourselves as well as we continue all together to measure up to the stature of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We ask these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Very satisfied with what's gone on so far. Is the presbytery of a mind to deliver Brother Patrick to Union Church as a ordained deacon set apart to that work?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. We have a motion and a second to accept the work that this presbytery is done and deliver him back to the church as a deacon. We have any discussion about it? All those in favor, raise your right hand. All those opposed? Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, deacon.
Amen.
The next order is to ask the spokesman for the church to deliver Sister April his help me and dear wife to seat next to him. It's time for the hour and a half charge. They got that a little bit earlier on in the year. Welcome, Sister April. We find that the first deacons were chosen from among the congregation by the congregation to fill a need within the congregation. And they were to be a bonus report full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. We see that the discharge of their duties freed the ministry to attend to study, prayer, and the discharge of their own duty to minister the word. They did not free them from something, but they freed them to something.
Amen.
They didn't take the obligation away or off of the pastor to minister to their needs or visit folks that were sick or pray for those that needed prayer. They allowed them more time. Do you know the pastors were doing that? The apostles were doing all of it before this. And we also see that the word after the institution of the office of deacon, that the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And it also says that a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now just think about that for a minute. These Jewish priests were obedient to the faith. You know, when God's people are obedient to God and discharge their duty as intended, the word of God will increase.
Amen.
And you'll see great increase in God's house. Now Paul also gives some of the other qualities that are to be held and displayed by the deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read these. And brethren and sisters, church, while I'm reading these, if you're a deacon or not, if you're already a deacon or about to become one, or if you're to be served by one, I want you to pay close attention. Likewise, must the deacons be grave. That means that there's some gravity to them. When it doesn't mean they're serious 100% of the time, but it means that their ministry is great. It's weighty. It has some gravity to it. And says not double-tongued. Y'all know what double-tongued means? That in the South we say you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You can't say one thing to one person and something else to somebody else. We know Patrick doesn't do that. Hallelujah. None of God's people should do that.
Amen.
Now, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You know those first deacons? Y'all know Stephen was among them, right? He preached one of the most powerful sermons recorded. You know what happened to him? He died. He didn't just die. They killed him. It meant so much to Stephen. And he desired for that word to spread. And because of his death, other people gained traction, said, if he would die for it, I will too. I want that to be in you. Not that you're called to preach, but you ought to hold the mystery of the faith in pure conscience.
Amen.
And let those also first be proved. You know, we don't lay hands on a novice. We don't lay hands on somebody that just says they want to be ordained to preach, do we? We try them out. Let them exercise a little while. And when they... Isn't that right, Brother Cole? Just ordained as a preacher, elder, hallelujah. And we don't do that. We don't ordain a deacon to the office of a deacon just because he's a warm body in the church and he might develop the qualities.
Yeah. Yeah.
We prove him first before we set him apart for that work. He's already doing the work, as Brother Ed already said.
Amen.
He's already been doing the work of service to the church here at Union. And we ought not to ever lay hands suddenly on any man.
Amen. That's how you're right.
Now, it says, let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Who in here is blameless? Nobody. But you know what? If we were to look for some blame, we'd find it. But we found him blameless because he's not doing things on purpose that would be a detriment to the church.
Amen.
Or the cause of Christ.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's perfect, and that doesn't mean you're perfect.
Amen.
I want you to be found blameless. Don't be doing anything that would cause a reproach to come upon the church.
Amen. That's right.
Now, then Paul does something strange. He talks about the qualities that his wife is to possess. Before I get into that, no, I will do it. Even so, must our wives be grave? Have some gravity. I think she does. Y'all that know her, do you agree that she's pretty grave? Serious things. That doesn't mean that you walk around with a scowl on your face pondering about the deepest thoughts in the world. You can have fun and still be grave. Even so, must our wives be grave, not slanderers. She doesn't talk. I had never heard her talk bad about anybody or slander anybody. Have you? Hallelujah. Don't start. Sober. Not only is that talking about not being drunk, but it's talking about sober mindedness.
Amen.
Sober thinking. Think with your right mind, not with your wrong one. You know, we've all got a wrong mind, don't we? Faithful in all things. I tell you what, that's a big order, Sister April. That's a tall order. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. You know, it's easy to rule your house well when your house is ruled well. When you've trained up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And the children, it's easy when you're acceptable to being ruled.
Right. Amen.
I'm not just talking about Kylie and Colt. Amen?
Amen.
Let's think about it, people. Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you willing to lay down your wants for the good of the church? Are you willing to have a teachable spirit? You know, this is not just charged to a deacon. It's really charged to the church too, because it should be. We all, in God's house, ought to have a teachable spirit and learn at the feet of the Master, because He's our Father, He's our husband, He's our friend, He's our Savior, He's our all in all.
Amen.
Why would we not listen to Him? Now, boy, this could grow into a big old sermon, couldn't it? Patrick, this office that you have been called to, that you have been ordained to, you're right down there with the pastors, the elders, because you have taken the most demeaning position. You are not lording over God's heritage. You have now willingly entered into the position of a servant of servants. You're a servant to servants. Y'all let that sink in. A servant's servant. It's pretty low to be a servant, isn't it?
Right.
But you want to get lower than that, and you wash a servant's feet. Just think about it. Back in those days, they had servants. And the lowest job on the whole totem pole. The lowest job in the hierarchy was to wash the dust, mud, and excrement off of their master's feet. Y'all think about it. They walked around in open-toed sandals. And y'all know they didn't have pay roads back then. The donkeys, the chickens, the horses, they all, the cows, dogs, cats, they all did their stuff. I'm being real. And the job of a servant was to wash all that off of their master. And your job is to wash it off the servant that washed it off. That's pretty low. And yet, he calls us kings and priests to God.
Amen.
Ain't that right? That's a pretty high position, isn't it? We are that, but we ought to always carry the attitude of a servant of servants. Knowing that we answer only to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you serve God first, according to His will and His word, then your service will not be self-serving. You know, how many of y'all known deacons over the history that them old, we, you know, preachers are kind of mean sometimes, and we have a term for some of those deacons that lord over God's heritage, and we call them mossbacks. Why is that? Why do we call them mossbacks? Number one, because they won't move. Number two, because they won't listen to nobody. Number three, because they want to serve themselves.
Amen.
My friends, it ought not so to be in God's house.
Amen.
God's house has no place for mossback deacons. Amen.
Amen?
Y'all are sitting in the amen corner over there.
Sure.
I don't think any of y'all are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The attitude you serve in must be this. You cannot be a lord over God's heritage. You know why? Because she's His wife, not yours. Got it? Read God's word daily.
Amen.
Write it. Think about it when you come up, get up in the morning. Think about it when you're taking a shower. Write it upon the doorposts of your house. Bring your children up in it. Rule your house with it. Go to bed with it. Die with it.
Amen, brother.
It contains your duties and the wisdom needed to discharge your duty as a faithful servant. And be spiritually perceptive. That's hard sometimes for us as children of God to be spiritually perceptive. What do I mean by that? I mean figure out when God's talking to you. Figure out when the Spirit is leading you to do something. Learn how to distinguish His voice from the voice in your head.
Amen.
Learn how to distinguish His voice from the voice of your friends or our culture. And I want to tell you this. The Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that's not according to His Word.
Amen.
So you got to read the Word. And then if you hear something in your head that says, oh, you ought to do this, that's not the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Ain't that right, Brother Dan?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Now, to be spiritually perceptive, that means you've got to drown out or get rid of all the external noise. You know, the older I get, my hearing's bad. I have a hard time when everybody else is talking to focus on what the person I want to listen to is saying. But I don't have a problem hearing when everybody else is quiet and only one person speaking to me. Listen to the Lord. Sister April, this is for you. Support him. You know, the Apostle Paul brought up the wives, and I think it's a real importance because there's no closer relationship in the world than that of a wife and her husband. And, you know, when sisters talk, don't they? You might not know what's going on, but she probably does. I'm not as perceptive. I'm not. This is real. Is it not true, men?
Yes.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Sonia's way more perceptive than me. I think she'll say, did you hear what they said? I bet this is going on. I'm like, no, surely that's not what it is. And 99.9% of the time, she's right. When it comes to that. When it comes to that. She can be a great help to you, or you can be a great hindrance. That's why Paul put those qualities in there to be not a slanderer. Don't slander. Don't take what somebody says and spread it out everywhere. But listen. Because those sisters will tell you things, and then in turn you can go and say, I think Sister Ida needs help, or I think Sister so-and-so needs some help. She was struggling getting in her house. Maybe we need to do something. You can be a great help to him as he serves the Lord's people here at Union. I'll also tell you this, Sister April. You're going to have to share. In that relationship, you know, it's just you and her, right? Nobody else. Time's not divided. But now, he may get a call in the middle of the night. And you may have to loan him out for a little while. There's going to be some times when to serve God's people, he's going to have to leave you. Or maybe he'll just take you with him. That'd be all right. But you are going to have to share him. That's hard. I can tell you it's hard. You ministers know what I'm talking about, don't you? That's hard. Help him with recognizing needs that he might not be aware of. Do this joyfully. I tell you, the relationship between a deacon and the pastor is second only, I think, to the marriage relationship. That relationship between the deacon and the pastor is one of complete trust. It is something that is hard to explain. Hard to explain. But there has to be complete trust between both of you. It goes both ways. You trust him, he trusts you. Right now, that's me. Hallelujah. But deacons, if you don't have that kind of relationship with your pastor, start working on it.
That's right.
Start working on it. Because he's going to lead the church into pastures when the Lord tells him to, and it's your job to help him. It's your job to support him. It's your job to... Sometimes it's like herding cats. I know. But help him. Help him. If it seems that he's the only one that's rowing in the boat, help others remember that it's their job to pick up an oar and start rowing too.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that, church? Did you know it's not just his duty to change the light bulbs? Just because we've got another deacon now doesn't mean that you are to sit back and watch him work.
Right. Amen.
This is a charge to the church, I told you. Now, it's his duty to serve the needs of the church. It's everybody's duty to make sure that all the jobs get done.
Amen.
Did you know somebody's the most important person in church? Those lights need to be changed out. Somebody will do it. You know what? You know who that somebody is? It's you, church.
Amen.
They're the coordinators. The deacons are the coordinators. They're the ones that get up the work day. They're not the ones that are the only ones supposed to show up on work day.
Amen.
Y'all got it?
Yeah.
Don't take it on yourself to do everything. Don't take it on yourself to do everything. Don't take it on yourself to do everything. I'm done. Hallelujah. All right. Faster than I thought. We're 5 minutes below an hour. Hallelujah. Now, I pray that God give you both wisdom.
Amen.
I pray that He bless you with patience. I pray that He bless you with courage. I pray that He bless you with strength. And I pray that you conduct yourselves in a manner that He would see fit. And may God's kingdom be increased all the more. May God bless you as you go forth, discharge your duty to God in this church.
Amen.
Now, Brother Ben, are you ready to read the minutes?
Yes, sir.
You're up.
The undersigned pressure chief responding to a call from Union Primitive Baptist Church of McKenzie, Tennessee, and being assembled on the 16th day of August 2025 to examine the gifts and qualifications of Brother Patrick Corbin for the purpose of ordaining him to the office of deacon proceed as follows. The presbytery approved to the presbytery and the church approved of the presbytery that was assembled, and the candidate approved of the presbytery that was assembled. By motion and second, affirmative vote appointed Elder Paul Blair as moderator of the presbytery. By motion and second, an affirmative vote appointed Elder Ben Shuttles as clerk for the presbytery. By motion and second, an affirmative vote appointed Elder Edmund Long to question the spokesman of the church and the candidate. The spokesman for the church, Brother Billy Phelps, was asked to seat the candidate, which he did. Next, Elder Edmund Long, the interrogator, proceeded to question the spokesman and the candidate as follows. By motion and second, agreed that the candidate was qualified for the office of deacon and agreed to proceed with the ordination by unanimous vote. By motion and second, an affirmative vote appointed Elder Chase Harrison to offer the ordination prayer. By motion and second, an affirmative vote appointed Elder Paul Blair to do the charge. The ordination prayer was offered by Elder Chase Harrison, followed by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. By motion and second, an affirmative vote, Brother Patrick Corbin was declared to be an ordained deacon set apart for the work of deacon. The church spokesman was asked to seat Sister April beside her husband, which he did. Elder Paul Blair then delivered the charge to Brother Corbin. By motion and second, an affirmative vote, the reading of the minutes was approved. Which
hint. Hint.
Second.
Okay, so there's a motion for what?
Accept the reading of the minutes as written.
Okay, and the second by
Josh
made the motion and Brother Tim seconded. Any discussion or questions about the minutes? All those in favor say aye or raise your right hand.
By motion and second and affirmative vote, the presbytery was dissolved and Brother Corbin returned to the church as an ordained deacon.
We would entertain a motion.
Make a motion to dissolve the presbytery.
Motion has been made to dissolve the presbytery. We have second.
Second.
Brother David Harrison seconded that. Any discussion? All those in favor, raise your right hand. Amen. Conference will be closed with prayer. Welcome. As a deacon. I don't know if you're supposed to do this, but Brother Billy, would you like to deliver them back to the church? I guess just tell them to sit down and take up the chair.
I would say that.